Family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Where the heck are you geniuses out there?
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out all voice bulletins. We'll send roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order.
I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations,
the radio stations, everything. What kind of radio show is this?
Shut back down and shut your trap. It's time to
talk. Radio.
And now for something completely different.
Hear ye. My app. This is the Dutch Jones radio program. It's October 25th, 2010. This is a live show. It's approximately 5:02 p.m. If you're listening another time, please don't call the phone number. Nobody calls during a live show, but all the pod people and the rebroadcast over there on Watchmen and wherever else, then they call. And the poor lady who lives in the library is like, the phone is at 2 in the morning from your studio. So don't call if it's not live. What? Okay, let's see. I've got everything turned way down here. Our output is moderate and in the yellow. Sorry. Thank you, Olimar, for telling me that. Let's see, if I get that close, it's not UVing here. That's really weird. That's strange. Yeah. It's kind of weird. We are turned down here on this end. That's unique, because people have been telling me it's too quiet. But thank you for the feedback, no pun intended. Well, it's a beautiful fall day here. I think we're somewhere floating around 72 degrees, which is my ideal operating temperature for a fat guy. I want to thank everybody who sent me comments about what happened on Friday in our show. We ran the video camera for the whole 2 hours. I did a show and tell. Got a lot of people who... I've done a show and tell that I didn't get somebody telling me, hey, you know, what are you doing? Why are you putting this there on your gear? What's going on? You know, that kind of junk. I'm going to take the bass out a little bit. Maybe that'll help you. Let me do this a little bit there and then turn it up a little bit here. Maybe that'll be better. Let me know, guys. We tested it for like an hour and it seemed to be good. But you never know. We are dealing with several connections in the link here. So many different things. I don't even know where my voice go. And it was fucking bat bags in there harassing me. You're just jealous because I didn't let you put your camera on. You didn't want to show off the camouflage doilies you were making and selling on eBay. Welcome, Minuteman, Batfag, Olima, Red Pill. There's like two Dutch Joneses, and of course my lovely wife sitting across the room. What, you don't sit next to me anymore? Is there something I did? Do I have fan? We can plug you in. She's like clearly on the other side of the lobby in the library. She's having to use semaphore to communicate. She's that far away. Oh, she's reading Patriots. She didn't want to be part of the show. I encourage you all to read Patriots. We are encouraging people to do it. What we're going to start probably next week is we found Patriots by, who's the author again, Lou?
James Wesley Rowles.
And we found it on tape. So Lou is in the process of digitizing that and putting it into the computer. It's how many hours, Lou?
21.
Can you guys hear Lou? 21 hours. We were going to put it on CD and send it out to you guys as a bonus for you guys donating. But Lou says it's going to take 25 CDs.
No, it's 22 parts.
22 parts. Take 22 CDs or whatever, depending on how long it is, how many hours. So if you guys know another way to do that, how do they do books on tape? Well, it's not tape. Books on CD. But we found it, and we downloaded it, and he's converting it.
I can put it all if you... If you only have to play it on
Yeah, computer. If you just want to play it on a computer, you can put it all on one CD. So if you guys want that, just next time you send in your donation, just say, hey, send me Patriots. Because it was funny. I had a bunch of people told me, they're like, you really recommend that book a lot, but why don't you read it on the air? A couple of them said it jokingly, but I think there were a few of you that were serious. I'm like, come on, man. Do I have to hold your hand? So we went looking for that. This is going to make it a little easier. So what we may do is we'll offer that up for you, and then maybe when I'm not available to do a show, Lou can play it, or maybe even instead of playing music for the hour before we go on the air, when we're working out all the kinks, we can Does that level sound better? Because I want Lou to memorize where the level should be on the UV. If that's what it's supposed to look like, that's what it's supposed to look like, Lou. And then play it before so you guys can hear it and record it or whatever you want to do. But it's pretty good. I mean, it's not like an action novel. We listen to it a little bit. It's just a guy going, Chapter 1, The Crash. The Crunch. You don't need nuclear war to bring down a society, you know. And he just, and he goes into it. That's how, you know, we listen to a little bit of it. But we're going to have that for you guys here in the near future. I think it'll be fun. Then, of course, the conference CDs and videos, people who donate a certain amount will get those. So Lou's been working on that. Yeah, the background hum is the amplifier. We will never get rid of the background hum. That's the 300-watt linear amplifier that's producing out the FM signal. Are we running clunky right now? We're not, are we?
No.
We got the new computer. A listener brought in, not a new computer, but a used computer that's actually better than our old one. And what Lou's been doing all day, we lost everything. When the hard drive crashed, we couldn't recover anything. At least we didn't have the skill set to do it. So little old Lou here, without having his hand held like some of you want with Patriots, the book, got the computer put together. It was donated. I don't have a special name for the listener. He's a new listener. Came to us via a Southern California militia. Help me out a minute, man. It's the Southern California Medical Command or something like that. He was on their website, and they told him about us. And then he came up here. And that was, you know, pretty interesting that he, you know, found a way through somebody like that that didn't really even kind of like us because we won't play their reindeer games. But he gave us a computer to use, and it's actually a pretty good computer. We just got to program the stuff. Olima, could you do a show about first-time gun ownership and what guns would be good starter ones for just to begin with? You know, I could do that. Why don't we put that on the shelf for tomorrow? Tuesday, I could do it. We can do it tomorrow. It's an excellent idea. I always love it when our support staff give us idea. Lou's trying to be a smarty pants. A gun that shoots would be the best starter. That's why we give Lou starter pistols. He actually thinks they shoot, but they don't. We just pre-poke holes in the targets. I tend to forget the stuff from over there. I'm not sure. Yeah. So, you know, it's always good that we do hit stuff like that, so we will. But we've got folks coming. Remember how we lost a lot of people? You know, I don't like to share our, you know, our dirty laundry, but we had a bunch of people leave, mostly because of me. I'm just too harsh. I don't mean to be. Am I harsh, guys?
No.
Am I harsh, Lou?
No.
Don't be whimpering. I'll slug you in the head, boy. Thank you, Lou, for doing that properly. That was a good joke. I like how you worked with me on that. You didn't just look at me and go, no, you're not rubbing. That was pretty good. But we've got people coming in. Yesterday at church, we had 7 new people show up. Now, I know you people that go to those mega churches, you know, the Crystal Cathedral and... what are some of the big ones? Calvary Chapel and all that. You're all 7 people. Well, hoo-hoo-hoo. Well, when it's 7 people that come in and they're interested and they have a love for liberty and they're looking for the Lord, that's nice. We don't know where it's going to end up, but it's a nice start. And we just, and this one I will share. We just had a guy who is a bush pilot instructor sought us out, found us, did some courting with us, looked around. He bought a house at the end of a... abandoned runway. It's not abandoned, it was shut down by hippies, but we got an airport right next to our facility, you know, stone's throw away, actually, you know, 400 or 500 meters through the trees right here where I'm looking. And he's got 6 Bush aircraft. Things are looking good. Minuteman's making a joke. It's not important for me to remember the stuff from the Supreme Medical Commander. We did a whole show on that. I don't know if you remember that, Minuteman, about these little militia guys that, you know, they're just like, everyone should answer to me, and we need to have a Supreme Commander, Poobah General. No, that's not the way the militia works. So Minuteman and I were on the phone joking about that today. But I really want to thank, you know, him, you know, I'm not going to give his name. I don't know. What's he, Mike Force, I think is his username, for sending him our way. He does listen because he sent me some emails every once in a while, so that's good. So that's great. We got that. Because of that, we've got a usable computer. I don't know what we're going to do with the studio. We were in the back room for a while, but it got to be annoying because we couldn't tell when people were coming in and out. But now that we're up here, we get the hum. Maybe we can encapsulate it in a refrigerator or something, so we can do that. So I apologize for the hum. But Sunday was pretty good. I gave a class on cover, concealment, movement from a refugee status, not from tactical, you know, offensive status, But I'm trying to teach our people, because we have so many people that live 60, 70, even 80 miles away and that love this church and like to come here and take part in what we're doing here, where we're trying to get people here to make a bastion of liberty. And I used a French word, sorry. And I'm trying to get them in a mindset that, like, you know, don't just throw on your tactical gear and floor it up the freeway. Not the freeway, the highway. We don't have freeways here out in the middle of nowhere. It's actually not the middle of nowhere, but urban interface. And I was really surprised that they hadn't. Some people were like, I didn't even think of that. I was telling them different camouflage things to do. All, like Lou said, it's all stuff I've shared with you folks on the show. Did you want some attention, Lou?
No.
You're over there banging on your microphone? He's messing with the computer still. Sorry, folks. But I told him, I said, don't wear all your camouflage. Don't put on your tactical gear. Hide it. Pre-place it. Get pizza delivery uniforms to be your camouflage if you're stuck down there. That kind of stuff. I showed him my ghillie suit. I love bringing that out because everybody, you know, what is that, a Bigfoot costume? And I go, do I look big enough to be Bigfoot? You know, I'm like a preteen Bigfoot. And then I showed him those. I showed him the show and tell that I gave you guys on Friday, the one that Bat Fag said he hated. I showed him the vest, everything, and it was really well received. And so things are happening here. We're losing people, but we're bringing people in. And I'm going to see that a lot of changes in a lot of people's lives. If you love the Lord, these times won't be easy for you. We are in a period of grace, but there's going to be some tough decisions. I can count on two hands people I know that are having family troubles. Almost 10 people, 10 men, good men, some of them good women who are having problems with their husbands or their kids. And the other spouse is not with them. What do you do? Well, you got to pray hard, and you got to study. You got to study the scripture and do what's right in your situation. But it really saddens me to see people that have made it this far, and now that things are starting to look a little ugly, some people are coming undone. Some people that you counted on, the lovely bride that you looked at across, you know, in that church, and you looked into her eyes, and you both said, "I do," and you took those vows seriously. Things are starting to unravel. And you may be going, I can't count on this person in a firefight. So be very prudent in this day and time. Don't just focus on getting the coolest high-speed gear. Don't just be focused on making sure you got the beans and the bullets and the Band-Aids put everywhere. Look at your relationships right now and turn to Jesus Christ. You know, it's Monday. I always like to get a little, because, you know, Sunday was, you know, I got some great sermon yesterday from our pastor. And it bleeds over into today, no pun intended. But I just feel like it's all day I've been discussing stuff online, and it's been conflict within a family, within groups, people just saying, hey, these people that I counted on my whole life, now that it looks like this thing's really happening, they want to sell all their guns and, you know, become suburbanites and just blend into the woodwork and not take part of the call to liberty. It's going to happen, folks, and I'm sorry, and you're going to have to, sometimes God just wants you to move on. He did in my life. I've shared my testimony four times today with four individuals. And I told them, you know, hey, I walked away from a $180,000 a year job, two houses. One house was $500,000. It's because we're in California. It was really like a $30,000 house everywhere else. Multitude of cars. My daughter, a three-year-old daughter. But I did everything I could, everything that was right in the Lord. But He was preparing me, and He's preparing you for something much bigger. You know, Lord doesn't need 10,000 soldiers. He doesn't need one. He wants you to participate in your own liberation, both spiritually and physically. It's not one or the other. It may wane back and, or excuse me, swing back and forth a little bit in where He focuses on. But you're called by Jesus Christ to be a soldier. And if you're a woman, you're called to support that man and defend your children as a soldier. And we've gone over that, the roles of men and women in a Christian militia. But today, one of the things that I wanted to talk about, and I'm going to get to this really great handout that somebody gave us, and it's, you guys have all heard it. I'm sure all of you have seen it, and we'll talk about it a little bit. But somebody asked me today very seriously about some, you know, the whole faggot marriage thing. And my opinion is this. Refined it down to this. Let them get married with a state marriage license. Let them wear a ring, let them get a certificate, because no matter what they call it, it's still not marriage. And no matter how hard they try, it's not marriage, so fine. I don't want a marriage license from the county. I don't know why any of you do, or from the magistrate, whatever. And so if you want to do that, go ahead, and you want to be in league with faggots because they're letting them do it. I said, let them all get married. So he says, I can't believe you're a Christian. You're saying let them get married. I said, yes. That way when we take over, we can go to the county clerk's office and get a list of all the sodomites and round them up and chase them out. Oh, I'm telling you, on the place where I was posting this in the thread, all these so-called Christian patriots went nuts. Why, what are you going to do? What are you going to do when you round them up? I said, exile them. There's no place in a Christian nation for sodomites. And I said, that's the reason this nation is not blessed, because we allow that kind of garbage to go on. Well, what are you going to do in San Francisco? We see you're in California. I said, we will lay siege to it. We will surround it. We will cut off their utilities. We will close their port. And we will give them 2 weeks to remove themselves from our new country. That's saying, that's if, in fact, we have, after all this falls apart, our new nation includes that. We need the seaports, and we don't need faggots there. So I went into this whole detailed thing, and I was very, you know, I used Saul as an example, where God told Saul, it was the Amalekites, right? Go kill every stinking Amalekite there is, Saul. Kill their sheep, kill their children, kill their women, kill everything. And I said, I'm not saying God's telling me to go kill sodomites. But he is telling me very clearly that we should not allow them in our midst. I said earlier in the chat room, I typed something that says, the line between us and them is going to get real deep and real wide real soon. And these are going to be some of the deciding issues. And all you people want to, you know, get excited. Everybody sending me all this stuff on the election. I don't give a tinker's damn, and that's not a swear word. That's actually a old silversmith term. I don't give a tinker's damn about the election. It doesn't matter who wins. 6 months from now, we're going to be exactly where we were going to be anyway, no matter who's in office. The real things that decide who's with us and against us are these issues of godly law. Here in California, we've been operating under this premise that February 1st, we were going to lose our right to purchase ammo more than 50 rounds a month. You have to give a thumbprint, background check. The police department have a list of everybody's ammo. I called the governor's office. They lied to me and told me it was signed and passed. I called all the major merchants in the area. Even Cabela's sent us a notice saying, you better buy your ammo now. We found out with the help of Minuteman here on the phone. We spent some time on the phone this morning. And the laws was defeated on September 31st. But the government here is acting like it's still a law. And the merchants are scared to death and they're still going to comply with it. A law is a law is a law. You know, is it lawful or is it legal? If they imply that it's a law and people comply with it, just like you need a driver's license, it becomes a law that they enforce. Unless we resist it. So are we going to obey God or are we going to obey man? So these issues are dividing issues that we have to stand on and that we cannot compromise on. Just like I talked about Chuck Baldwin, there are certain things we can't surrender, and he didn't get into it, but the sodomite question, the abortion question, the what is the religion of our land? Are we Muslims? Are we Jews? Or are we Christians? Are we post-Reformation Christians? Now, I'm pre-church Christian, and I'm not going to go into that here because it's hard for some people to comprehend that. But when I've got militia guys saying, oh, I will fight for the rights of any man, even a gay, to practice as he chooses, I said, well, then your cause is not our cause, and I want no affiliation with you. You guys can go somewhere else. Go to Massachusetts and start your own country there. Go to Southern California. We're going to give you that. You can have Southern California with all its problems. No, why would anybody want Southern California? Let's push this to the limit here. Your water comes from 100 miles away. Your electricity comes from 100 miles away. Your food comes from hundreds of miles away. There's no reason to have Southern California. Anything below Magic Mountain, for those of you that have been here and enjoyed our entertainment business. So all the fags can move south. We'll give them 2 weeks. 2 weeks. When you make statements like that in a public venue of even supposed like-minded people and they freak out, it's a great litmus test. Just like I stopped voting because I couldn't get any Republicans to say that they were completely pro-life and would make abortion illegal and put the doctors in prison for doing it and make the parents, the women who did it, get counseling. Not even Ron Paul would do that for me. I don't vote anymore. When there are no righteous men left to vote for, Chuck Baldwin's not running. I mean, I'm not going to do the lesser of two evils. A Republican batting zero is not better than a Democrat batting, 1,000 to me. They're both the same evil choice. So in this election time, all you folks sending me this election stuff, I'm glad you did, but I'm not even reading it. I don't care about how many dead Mexicans are going to vote in this next election. I really don't, because it's all corrupt. The courts and the ballot box are gone. We failed in those areas. And just like God divorced Israel, we've got to divorce those groups and those entities and those institutions for now. We will seize them back. We will restore some type of godly Old Testament, New Testament mixed government. Not a theocracy. I still believe in separation of church and state. It's a one-way separation. And we must demand that we have a Christian nation. And we can have elections again when it's right. But for right now, things are dark. Well, now things are dim. They're not dark yet. Things are dim and getting darker. I'm starting to think I can see the horizon from here. I'm not too sure. But let me tell you something. Our front living room is full of gear. Well, in the basement now. Stacy, moved. Where'd you move it to?
Underneath my desk.
Yeah, well, the front living room still has gear. We got gear everywhere. People are dropping by. Okay, I need first aid. I need a trauma kit. I need this. Okay, let's do it. We are focused on the problems at hand. We're not worried about going out and making sure everybody votes for the lesser of two evils in our governor's election, whether it's Moonbeam or a corporate dictator. Either way, it's pardon my French, but we're El Scrute. It doesn't matter. Just like it doesn't matter that the ammo legislation got shot down, the effect is still the same. We're not going to be able to get ammo here because all the businesses said we don't want anything to do with ammo. And you know what? Anyway, the merchants are just raising their prices to exploit us. Do you think the guy who sells ammo at Walmart's a patriot? No. Do you think the guy at the local gun store here in California, I'm just speaking about California, I don't know the rest of you guys, do you think he's really thinking about, oh, I hope we restore the Constitution, start a new nation? No, he's thinking bottom line. And that's how they got you. That's the first level of distraction, focusing on you, on desiring what your needs are. These are a time of grace, yes. Things aren't as bad as they could be. It's not Bosnia, it's not El Salvador, it's not even Mexico. You know, look what's going on there. We can still move somewhat freely if we're smart. We can still stash and move gear and, you know, have hideaways and have fallbacks and build fellowships. I've got layer upon layer of fallbacks. Having this radio show has been a blessing because it introduces me to people that love the Lord and love liberty. It's a great filter for me. It would be great if it made enough money for me to feed my family, but that's neither here nor there. I'm just complaining, Lord. Please forgive me. Donations are low again. But the main focus for me is what resources do I have and how can I apply them to the cause? Blue and I and Stacy the other day sat down and said, we need to make sure that every day we do something for the Lord and we do something for the cause. Even if it's as simple as reading the Bible, even if it's as simple as mowing the grass on the lawn for the church. Or reading Patriots. Stacy's cracked open Patriots. Lou and Stacy are not readers. I'm not saying it to embarrass them. They're just part of this modern world. They hate to read. I see it all the time. People, I mean, when I put this out there again, reread Patriots. Man, I don't want to read. Play the audio for me. People I love and respect were seriously saying, is there a movie I can watch? Man, that's going to take about 7 hours of was it 21 hours of dedicated reading. I read it in 3 days.
I read,
but you don't like to read now. And Lou hates to read, and that's a struggle for me as his instructor in homeschool. He loves to read on the internet. You know, it's a generational thing. Picking up a book is kind of abhorrent to this next generation. But we got to do it, because when all the electricity goes off, we got a library full of books here. And like Minuteman and I were talking, we got a barn full of tools and a bunch of stuff that needs to be done around here. And if day one after we call it the crunch, is that what it was? The crunch in the book?
Yeah, that's
if that's the first day that you start preparing your mind and hands for it, you're already so far behind the ball, you're probably going to become, well, I don't even want to say. You're no use to anybody at that point. Do everything you can do right now in these days of grace to do what we can. Praying together and reading the Bible, Olima says. Yeah, we fellowship up here so much I forget to tell you guys about it. I'm very fortunate. I live on a church ranch. I live amongst like-minded people, and yes, we have our conflicts, but The discussion of the day is always the Lord, the cause, and our families. Those are the three things we talk about. You know, I've heard, you know, and I'm going to mess this up, but it's like regular people talk about things. You know, well, how's your car doing? You know, that kind of stuff. And then you get to a certain point and it's like great people talk about ideas and beliefs and our faith. And that's what we do here. I'm very fortunate to be surrounded by these people. You know, I wish there were more. Somebody asked me today how many we have. This Sunday at church we had 40 people. I'd say about half of them are capable, but you know, of doing something for the Lord. The rest are elderly or crippled or whatever, like me. But everybody there loves the Lord and knows what needs to be done. Now there may be one or two people in there that are just showing up. I know that. But we don't worry about that. I don't even worry about the infiltrators anymore. I laugh. I start off most of my training saying, okay, we probably got an infiltrator in here, so let me get the good stuff out of the way. We don't have hand grenades. We don't do this. We don't condone that yet. But when the time comes, I'm going to start shooting mobile supply pods in the face, and I'm going to take their gear. I don't pull any punches when it comes to the reality of it. I'm not stupid either. Be wise and discerning. Hello, Warland. Good to see you again. Go out of your way right now to sit down. On a little piece of paper, stick it on your fridge, and go, what can I do for the Lord every day? What can I do for the cause? And then what can I do to prepare myself? Somebody told me today they just got our bumper stickers in the mail because we sent a bunch of bumper stickers. Stacy did. I shouldn't take credit for it. And she sent bumper stickers, and people said, I started handing them out at work. If that's all you do for the cause is get people to look at those Bible verses and go, what's going on here? Who's this guy? It's not up to you to convince them. It's not up to you to deliver them to the cause or deliver them to Christ. No. Yours is just to be a tool to assist the Lord, be a weapon in his hand, be a reflection of his light. We're going to be back after the break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about Robert Rogers' standing orders, which are just as true today as they ever were, and we should put this on the website when you get a chance, though. I know you're overworked. We'll be back after the break. We're going to give you a little poker face acoustics here to listen to and the commercial. And don't forget to hit DutchJones.info, DutchJones.info. We need your donations, folks. We need your donations. We'll be right back. She's been made to suffer for the profit of a few. Storm clouds are forming. Winds of change now touch our shores. I hear forefathers are crying as the dream's been crucified. America, what shall my love for thee, the strength and loyalty? Thank you.
a tragedy. I just want some answers. So the truth will set us free. And the truth will set us free. I say hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
Solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Where's the hit for you geniuses out there?
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Without all points bulletin. We'll send roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations,
the gas stations,
everyone.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones
Radio.
And now for something completely different.
Badu Sensei. Lou can't do the sound effects right now because when we tried doing anything with the computer, where's my headphones? Right there's my headphones. Dumped us offline, so we don't want to do that, folks. So we are back. I'm Dutch Jones for the second half hour here. Don't forget, next hour, with all things going well, we get picked up by like a couple different networks, LibertyTreeRadio.4MG.com. LibertyTreeRadio.4MG.com being the biggest of those. But I cannot ignore our special stick with us 2 hours a day when he can, Scotty 38, who rebroadcasts us over CB Channel 2, unless it's changed. On the Finger Lakes region of New York and all the patriots in New York. Let us not forget the East Coast people. Just like we on the West Coast get called the Weird Coast, the Left Coast, and get forgotten, where the seed of liberty came from in the 1700s, 1775, 1776, let's not forget that they're not all lost there. So, no sound effects today. I don't know what Lou did to the computers, but he tried to kill them or something, and they're mad at him now. I don't know what he did. So how's it sounding, everybody? I just want to make sure the mic levels are good. I don't want to break your Tandy Radio Shack speakers out of your computers and stuff like that. Welcome back. Welcome back indeed. I just got some IMs that said, hey, you didn't give out the phone number. No, I didn't. If you would like to call, 559-561-8225. 559-561-8225. Okay, now that you've scrambled for a pen, a pencil, you're going to use your French fry and write it on the wall. 559-561-8225. You can call in, and as always, it doesn't have to be on topic, but we like it to be at least militia-oriented or Christian-oriented. You know, don't call me and tell me about your bunions. And what we'll do is, you call up, I answer the phone, there's no screening. Also, if you want to talk to me, get in the chat room, ubroadcast.com. Look for Dutch Jones, ubroadcast.com. Look for Dutch Jones in the search, because I know people are hearing it all over the place. I want to thank our pod people. Thanks to Olima, our support staff, who does all the archiving. And then we are also on Facebook. You can find us on Facebook. Go to Facebook.com. And my advice, people are saying, why are you on Facebook? Why are you on Facebook? It's terrible. Well, don't play all the games. Don't get all the, what do they call them? What are all the programs that you can download and stuff on there? The applications. Don't get all the applications. It'll destroy your stuff. And Stacy's computer got overrun, and I think they lifted our credit card information again. And either that or Stacy did actually get 4 memberships to the African American Christian Dating Service, which I don't know why you'd want 4. I think 3 would be enough, Stace. But we got like $80-some charged to our account or whatever. So be careful there. I use it as outreach. I push the full crown rights of Jesus Christ into every aspect I can, except for voting and what was the other one I said? The courts. I've abandoned them. But I use Facebook for that. I just don't play all those silly games and stuff on there. So if you're going to add me, don't ask me to play, you know, Car Repo Wars or whatever the stupid games are they use to distract you. Stacy was addicted to Farmville. We had an intervention, and she finally came to Jesus when I told her that, you know, we're just going to unplug the power from the house. She didn't stop. So now she admits that she had a problem, and, you know, so thank you for all your cards and letters. Yeah? Yeah, I told you that the apps had spyware in them, and she's like, I don't believe you. And then like 3 days later, her credit card gets stolen. And she only uses it on that computer because we use it to order stuff from Voodoo Tactical and the like. So call in if you want to call in. You know, you saw a bunch of Chinese guys eating at the buffet at Harrah's in Vegas. Let us know. If they're not Chinese guys, but Chinese soldiers. Don't call out with them, you know. And I saw a bunch of Chinese guys. But no, they got to be wearing like UN uniforms or something, and you have to have pictures. But you can contact us through Facebook. You can post pictures there. You can contact me through the IM. You can go on my board. I lost about 8 people today because I've been attacking Nazis again. That's my new thing. I hate Nazis. So Nazis and lately Masons have been wanting to like me, but I'm giving them a little bit of leeway. I'm trying to find out if some of them are Christian, just like there are some Christian Catholics. You know, they're Christian Mormons. They're, you know, they're within the groups. I may not like the doxology of the institution, but I can love individuals in Christ. But Nazis, no, not going to happen. No way. We had a well-meaning kid at church this Sunday, kid, he's probably in his 20s, said that he read this book called Hitler and the Cross or something like that, and it kept claiming that Hitler embraced Christianity. He didn't. I've read about 42 books on Hitler, and every one of them shows that he was a pagan. Anything to do with the Hitler movement, Nazis, I just come unglued. So I had 7 of them dump me today, and I'm like, good, because they were closet Nazis, and I'm trying to pull them out of the woodwork, get them out of here, and let them know that if they come and visit me, they're probably going to get shot. I have no sympathy for someone who's given themselves over to those pagan rituals and hatred. I have my own brand of God, and he's the righteous God. What else was there? DutchJones.info is the website, DutchJones.info. I like that one. One says, if I see Chinese soldiers in UN uniforms, I'll be shooting with more than a camera. Just put your video camera beside your weapon. We used to do this with paintball. Hit record and just go at it. You know, you can hold, if you know, you got a good sized hand, you can hold. It's really cool point of view. It's like playing a video game back, and you just see you know, it's good. You will get to see the Chinese guys falling, the little blue helmet splattering. And so do that if you have a camera. If you're going to. What?
We should do that at the next airport.
I don't have a good enough camera, but we can try. We need a small camera. Let's see. That's enough of the business there, right? Oh. Lewis spent all this time getting the forum up. Some of you are using it. I encourage you to use the forum. Just go to DutchJones.info, look for the forum. Please sign the guest book there. Go to the forum, then go to the guest book, sign up, use it. It's for you guys. When I'm not around, you guys to exchange info. You got stuff you want to trade. You got stuff you want to sell. Do it there. It's all for you, just like our new emails are just for you. If you donate anything to us, you know, you give us $5 a month, thank you. If you're a regular contributor, email Lewis at DutchJones.info.
No, Lou.
It's Lou?
Yeah.
As in the toilet? The Lou? Oh, it's L-E-W?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was like L-O-O.
No.
Oh, okay. Lou, L-E-W, at DutchJones.info. Lou at DutchJones.info, and say, hey, I donated a fiver, man. I donated $17,000. I'd like to know who did that, because that would be nice. And I'll tell you why I'm saying that. We got something in the mail today that was just weird. And tell him you want your own email address. Tell him what name you want to use, and he'll work it out with you. You know, it's good. So, you know, use that resource there. Share it. build it. We've got to build. One of the things we found out, Lewis is now, because of the new service that we got with our new website, we're getting thousands and thousands of hits on the YouBroadcast embed on that site. But yet YouBroadcast says we only have like, you know, 1,300 people or whatever. That's fine. That's fine. I know that YouBroadcast only counts the people that go right to the YouBroadcast site, but we got thousands of people. And if all of you guys want to network, I get people all the time, where can I find a church? I can't be an expert in your area. If you're in Oklahoma and you're looking for a church, look for somebody else in Oklahoma that listens to the show. And you're going to only be able to do that in the forum. So I highly encourage you. Fellowship is one of the pillars of this show. We're trying to get you to fellowship with one another.
The five pillars of Dutch Jones.
Yeah, the five pillars of Dutch Jones, like Tulip.
No, like the five pillars of Islam.
I know the five pillars of Islam, but it's like we got to come up with our own little thing like Tulip. You know, fellowship like, is F, and it'll spell like fried chicken or something, you know.
Or like Daisy or something.
Yeah, we'll have Daisy, yeah. Yeah. And not one of them will be Obey Dutch no matter what. Yeah, I promise I won't do that. So, without further ado of stealing your time and just, you know.
And bumper stickers.
And bumper stickers. We'll get you bumper stickers if you donate. If you buy anything, you get bumper stickers. And listen to the commercials. Okay, Robert Rogers is basically the father of American Rangers. Even today in the modern Rangers handbook, these same 19 rules are there. Any militia that doesn't know these hasn't done its research. And any militia that doesn't know these needs to get on the ball right away. And if you're already practicing some of them, okay. But you got to do all of them. Every single one of these makes sense, and they all apply today. Although the verbiage is, you know, 1740s, 1750s. You know, put together during, and forgive me if I mess up the dates, but during the French and Indian Wars, while we were still a colony, you know, Robert Roger was fighting Indians and French Canucks and stuff. You know, the eternal enemy, the Canadians. When we're done with the New World Order, I'm going after Canada. Just kidding. Lauren Green, I don't trust him. Michael J. Fox. They send down all these comedians and actors to infiltrate and take away jobs from good American comedians and actors. You think I'm mad at Mexico. But anyway, I'm going to go through these 19 things, and you need to apply them. And Lou, when he gets a chance, he's overworked right now. He's probably worked harder in the last 3 days. We'll get him up on the website, but he's worked so hard these last few days trying to. He's yawning right now. I'm going to stick my finger in his mouth. Good thing the camera wasn't on. It looked like I almost stuck you in the nose. But he'll get these up. These need to be up. We can cut and paste them from somewhere. But just Google Robert Rogers standing orders. We'll make sure they get up on the website, Minuteman. That's an excellent suggestion. Number one, and the grammar in this, don't forget nothing. You know. Don't forget nothing. Don't write me letters about the double negative and all that, I know. That's true. That's true. Yes, you can call me after the show. The pastor might be here doing some stuff, but you can call after the show, Minuteman. We're going to load up all the new music, and he wants to be here to make sure that Lewis doesn't put Twisted Sister on again.
I never put Twisted Sister on.
Somebody did it.
I didn't.
If it wasn't you, it was me making it look like it was you, and I'm still going to blame you.
Hey.
Wise guy. So don't forget nothing. A soldier has to have, above all things, it doesn't matter if you're naked in the snow, a keen wit and sharp mind. You must be observant. I don't care if you're 280 pounds, you can run a marathon, you can bench press a Hummer. It doesn't matter if your mind's not trained and committed to the cause of liberty and observant and in it 100%, actually 110% wherever you are. There's nothing worse, and I hate this, whether it was security, whether it was working in the military, working as a police officer for the short time I did, or even the fire department, or even unloading trucks, or cleaning toilets. There's nothing worse than being paired with an idiot. Now, every idiot has his role to play, but you don't put him in the front line. And everyone has to be smart enough to not forget nothing. Don't forget nothing. Your training, what you learned growing up from your folks and the environment you're in, your street smarts, your history, your Bible, don't forget nothing. As a soldier, you need every one of your faculties. Number two, have your muskets clean and your hatchets scoured and be ready to march at a minute's warning. Now, let's take that. Most of you probably don't have hatchets in your kit. We do. Now, I'm not going to throw a tomahawk 40 feet away and try and, you know, stick it in some guy's head, but as an up-close or up-close weapon or as a survival tool, yeah, we have hatchets. Right, Stace? She threatened me with one today earlier when I was on the phone with, I think I was either on the phone with Dave or Minuteman, I can't remember. But it's and this is encapsulating, it says your musket clean and your hatchet scoured. That's meaning have all your gear ready and in workable order and inspect it regularly. The other day I was going through one of my pieces of gear and I realized that two snaps had busted. I'm hard on my gear. When a 200-pound guy sits on a fanny pack, it damages stuff inside and it rips the connectors off of the Molly. So I got to inspect it. So we fixed it. Minuteman just typed it in there as soon as I thought of it. Put together a checklist for your gear. A physical checklist and put it in your gear so you can take it out. What we do up here, we inventory even our caches. So the first thing when you open a wooden crate, there's a list right there of everything that's in there, how much, and the last time, and then usually initials and a date of the last person that inspected it or used it or put it back. And everybody has these lists. We posted some, Minuteman saying that he gave us some, I remember that. We put one up from Dixie Man. But the first part of this statement, have your muskets clean and your hatchet scoured. Notice that it doesn't say musket, it says muskets. The tools of the trade are more than just one. We all love that scene in Patriots when, aim small, miss small, and he's carrying at least half a dozen firearms on him as he's running with his kids chasing behind him. Mm-hmm. Keep all your weapons clean, not just your favorite one. Have them in operation. And I know when you go to the range, like, oh, man, I don't want to clean. To me, cleaning's fun. Lou enjoys cleaning. I mean, you seem to like it. He's not going to say anything. He's tired and worn out from having to run up and down the hill all day long. And keep your weapons clean and ready to go. That means oil, check them. I remember one time I wasn't used to the Mini 14. Never used one, really. I've, shot them at friends, but I've never used one as my own personal weapon. AR-15, always had, keep around it, ready to go. There was a bear situation. I went to pick up my my Mini 14, and I went to do a chamber check, and I couldn't open the chamber. The round in there, because of humidity, had swelled and closed shut. I had never had that happen. People told me that happens all the time with a Mini 14 and cheap ammo, because, of course, I have to shoot cheap ammo. So keep an eye on your gear. The hatchet scoured. Your hatchet can be your survival knife, your fighting knife, your Chinese throwing stars. What do you have, Lou? Your Gurkha?
Yeah.
Yeah, your Gurkha pickle knife. And make sure it's sharp. Make sure it works. Make sure the sheath is in good working order. And that hatchet is just a symbol for your secondary weapons. If that could be your pistol, make sure your pistol's functioning. Make sure holsters. I love these guys. They buy this tactical gear. They get a holster, and they put it like someplace they can't get to unless they move three things. Not a good thing. Not a good thing. Retention systems, make sure they're functioning. And this last part is critical. And be ready to march at a minute's warning. Where do you think the word Minuteman came from? It's not just a rice. It's not just a new word that came up for the guys on the border. They needed people that under 60 seconds could be on horseback and answering the call. Period. And in fact, today we should be 30-second men because of our technologies, our pagers, our cell phones, our vehicles. We should be able to respond from a dead sleep within 30 seconds. Your wife's helping you put on your body armor. Your son's strapping the belt on. Whatever it takes. You should see my house. It's like I have these armor bearers. And then you're ready to go to defend that house or to answer the call when the knock comes or the pager goes out. Do people still have pagers? I don't know. When your pocket toaster goes off with all your gadgets on it, you're ready to go. When the alarm bell sounds, I can't. People have forgotten what that means. Honey, where did I put my magazines? Honey, where is my? Let's see today. What's the uniform of the day? Did you wash my tiger flage? Yeah, exactly. We have a closet by our front door where we keep most of the stuff. Our backpacks are right by the front door. It's just the way you do it. And if you get lax, get right back on it. Don't beat yourself up. Get right back on it. Go, oh, man. And if you use something out of your gear, replace it. Be ready at a minute's notice. Number three, when you're on a march, act the way you would if you were stalking deer. See the enemy first. When you're on a march, act the way you would if you were stalking deer. Now, you got to remember back then, people didn't go to the grocery store. The women foraged, maintained gardens with the children, and the men farmed, worked, and hunted. So they were training, I would assume, every couple of days, depending on the size of the game they got. So it was in their mind. Today, how do I tell a stockbroker that? I think, what do you mean like I'm stalking deer? Okay, so let's change it. Act the way you would if you were stalking an ex-wife. No, that's not good. A celebrity. No, that's not good. Learn to move through adverse terrain without being seen, but being aware of everything around you. That's what stalking is. It's not paparazzi. You want to be able to know your limits so you can use the terrain to your advantage. And if you're in an urban scenario, which I pray to God none of you are, know how to move from rooftop to rooftop. Know how to move underground in the sewers. It's a little hard to see the enemy first. Take care, Batfag. Thanks for tuning in. Hope you catch the replay. I'm going to talk about you as soon as I see you go off. Just kidding. That's in the chat room there. If you want to, see what I'm talking about, you got to go to the chat room at DutchJones.info if you're listening somewhere else. So see the enemy first. Optimize everything that you can, whether it's optics, whether it's your physical senses, if that's all you have, whether it's scouts, whether it's locals, whether it's taking, you know, the high ground when it's tactically safe. It is always best to see the enemy first. Anybody that's ever been deer hunting knows deer are going to know most hunters are there. You go, I didn't see anything today. Well, they all saw you.
Yep.
You know, it's kind of funny. I've been up in on tree stands or on mountains, and I'll see city folk out hunting deer. And the first thing you know that the city folk are coming, there'll be like this just movement of five or six deer moving really fast. We see it all the time up here.
Yeah.
You know, especially the city folk who jump out and go, hey, look at all them deer up on that church range. We're going to go check them out and take pictures. Actually, city folk don't talk like that, but you get my point. You don't want the deer to see you first. You don't want the enemy to see you first. Now, I like this next one. This fourth one, you know, has everything to do with integrity and being a good Christian. Tell the truth about what you see and what you do. Tell the truth about what you see and what you do. Do not embellish. Don't be like, you remember when they sent in the 12 spies to look at the Promised Land in the Old Testament? And like 10 of them were like, oh, they're as big as trees. And then, you know, and they exaggerated. And the other two came out, oh, yeah, they're pretty big. You know, the grapes are huge. The cattle's huge. The women are bigger than us, but we can take them. Tell the truth. Tell the truth about what you see and what you do. If you mess up, own it, Christian men and women and children. If you mess up, own it. Especially in like post-action reports. Everything is critical because your officers, your leaders are going to be standing in the line for you. And if you give them a fib, you're going to take everybody out. It's just like, and I don't want to go into too much detail, but every single border group I've been involved in, the greatest lack of integrity I've ever seen in my life has been involved with those groups. And also the greatest heroism, the greatest dedication. But there's always one scumbag that ruins it for everybody else, whether intentionally or by mistake, because they lie. They don't tell the truth about what they see or what they do. They get off the line, they start telling everybody, oh yeah, we're down there shooting Mexicans all the time. You know, stupid stuff like that. Tell the truth about everything you see and everything you do. And if you mess up and you have a record of integrity, you might get punished. It's just like the little kid thing. Sure, tell the truth, everything will be okay. Tell a lie, and you're in a heap of trouble, and you ain't going to sit down for a week. Don't take a chance if you don't have to. Now, this is so important to the militia. Prevailing attitudes are, we can take anybody, and then it swings the other way. We can't take anybody, we might as well just all hide. There's a medium ground here, and hopefully you get that from me. Hopefully you get that from me when I do this show, or when I teach a class. There's a medium ground. It's just like Sun Tzu. You don't fight where they're strong. You don't attack them head on. You use flanking movements. You use secrecy. You use deception. You use harassment. Don't take a chance you don't have to. On a simple level, sure, it may be shorter to cross the field straight across rather than walk an extra half mile around it. But don't take a chance if you don't have to. On anything, with what you say to people, with the gear you select, don't go buy an $18 Rambo knife and stick it on your TA-50, unless that's all you can afford. If you can afford a $40 survival knife like I have from the Air Force, buy it. Don't take a chance. You don't have to. It goes with gear, goes with movement, goes with alliances. It applies to everything, and it's good old-fashioned backwoods wisdom. I love it. This next one is more tactical. March single file, far enough apart, so one shot cannot go through two men. I love this. Those of you that have the luxury of having cable, and the few times I do, I love watching the footage that's coming back from Iraq and coming back from Afghanistan. Our enemies over there must be complete idiots. They stand in groups. They walk in straight lines. They stand up and fire from the shoulder. We watched the one from National Geographic. They weren't even aiming, our guys. They were just spraying and praying and standing behind each other. March single file far enough apart so one shot cannot go through two men. Now, it's more true today than it was then with terminal ballistics. We're not going to get through all these until the next hour, so we're going to have to share some of these with the guys over there. What George Washington did. He was very selective on how and where he engaged the British. And even before, when he was fighting for the British, look how he tried to advise the British commanders when he was a lower officer. You don't just go, you know, fight in a line against the Indians. The native people, excuse me. For any of our redskin brothers and sisters that are listening. I have due respect for you guys, but I like saying redskins once in a while. Lou, don't yawn. I'm coming up on a break here. But marching single file, interval, all the discipline that you can possibly imagine. Work on it now. Learn to sit in a chair and not move. I taught this yesterday. I said, here's a little game I want you all to play. See how long you cannot move. Right now I'm shaking my right leg because I'm nervous when I'm on the air. That's my little bit of stage fright. I shake my right leg. If I'm doing that out in the woods, who knows what else I'm shaking that I don't see above me that's giving a sign to where I'm at. So all that. March single file far enough apart so one shot cannot go through you. Boy, we've got 7 through 19 coming. We're going to share those one at a time. It'll probably take up the whole next hour if I go this slow, right, folks? Yeah. Plus, I want your input. Don't forget, we're going to be coming up on libertytreeradio.4mg.com. libertytreeradio.4mg.com. Thanks for listening. We'll be back right after this break. Where's the knobs? Where's the knobs?
Danny Deer, his sword is buckled on. He's fighting for his own true love. His foes he does defy. He is the darling of my heart, my southern soldier boy.
Listening to the Dutch Jones radio program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
New World Order.
Minister for Family Protection, hunting dangerous and delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your pay.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out all points, bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention.
World order.
A new world
order.
Attention.
The government is an emergency.
Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
facts. Jennifer's
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
And welcome to our Liberty Tree Radio, folks, and anyone else that's listening, anywhere else you're listening. I am Dutch Jones, and you catch us in the middle of our two-hour cavalcade of entertainment, information, and humor as I see fit. I don't tell jokes to make you guys laugh, so, you know. Enough with the insulting emails about how bad my humor is. I do it for myself and the people in the room. Anyway, we're coming to you live from the little hamlet of Cahuilla in Central California in the foothills of the Sierra Nevadas, right outside Sequoia National Park. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Show. We do it Monday through Friday when the equipment doesn't hate us. And we try to bring you the Christian militant worldview, pressing the full crown rights of Jesus Christ into every aspect of liberty's world. And it is the Christ is on the throne. He is the king. There is no king but King Jesus. I get that out, so all you people that hate it when I say that can start writing your nasty emails to me. You can contact me through Dutch Jones, that's J-O-E-N-S, .info. It's all right there. Dutch, J-O-E-N-S, .info. You can go
Dutch
there.
Jones.info.
Dutch Jones dot info. Thank you, Lou. My trusty sidekick, Lewis, is at my left side, as always. Stop bumming the microphone. You can reach me there with your comments. And we're right in the middle of something. I timed it wrong. I blabbed too much in the last hour. I was going to try and get through Robert Rogers' standing orders. Now, originally, there were 29 well-crafted, military-worded, you know, orders, you know, just like those of you that remember your general orders and your specific orders and all that for modern military. It's not the same thing back then. But what I'm giving you is what he gave to his troops, what they were told, those that could not read or write, those that could read or write, he gave them it, and he made them memorize them, and there are 19 that it was down to. So somebody's going to say, Lewis pointed out, hey, there's really 29. I know that, but I'm giving you the 19 that the grunts on the ground with the rifle in hand, with their muskets, and that's what they got, and that's what you need today. And we've already gone through 1 through 7 of it real fast here. I won't expand on it. Don't forget nothing is number 1. Have your muskets clean and your hatchets scoured, and be ready to march at a minute's warning. Of course, we know why. When you're on a march, act the way you would if you were stalking deer. See the enemy first. Number 4, tell the truth about what you see and what you do. Very important. Number 5, don't take a chance. You don't have to. And then number 6, march single file far enough apart so no one shot can go through 2 men. That would be like 4 or 5, right? Number 7, and as we're picking up again, number 7, in a swamp or on soft ground, march abreast so it's hard to track us. Now, I know what some of you are saying, especially you recent people that just got out of the military. Well, with all the modern technology and satellite walking abreast, it's not going to do you any good. Well, we're not going to be fighting that kind of war. I strongly believe that when this sets off, we're going to so overwhelm the enemy, and there's going to be so many people in those seats where those things are controlled, they won't be an issue. You may call me Pollyanna, but I have faith in that. If they did, why are they still losing in Iraq and Afghanistan and South, you know, over there in Indonesia, the Philippines? I've got contacts. I've got buddies from my units that are fighting all over the globe right now, and they're telling me the truth. I don't believe the Fox News garbage. It's guerrilla warfare, as it was in 1750, 60, 1770, 1780, as it is today. Just because the weapon's different doesn't make the tactics any different. You do adapt some, but let's, you know, so save me the emails about how this isn't going to apply today. I'm not going to read them. Keep moving until dark so as to give the enemy the least possible chance to get us. And I like that one. It's one of those things, you know, where endurance and training and stamina comes in. I'm not going to be able to do that, so I'm not a frontline trooper. This is how you make sure that you send out people that you can handle. You look at the, I love to study the LERPs from Vietnam era. I read everything I can on what the LERPs do from the LERPs' point of view, not some paper pusher in the back writing a book, not some photographer, not some news guy, but the ones that were written by like Gary Linder and some of those books about the 101st Airborne and what they did, the long-range reconnaissance patrols, for those of you who don't know what a LERP is. Great study on how some smaller militias can function. And the whole dark thing, you know, people say, well, night vision and satellite, it's not going to matter. It matters. I like this one. When we camp, half the party stays awake while the other one gets to sleep. That's 50% security. Term that I heard often in the military. Term that I heard often working VIP details for personal security. We'd have 50% security. You don't want to wear out your troops. You don't want everybody awake for 4 days thinking the enemy's coming over the wire if you're garrisoned or if you're in a night defensive position or something. You don't want to have to worry about that. You want to rest your troops. Be wise and be a good steward over the physical needs of your troops. This next one, keep your prisoners separate so they can't cook up a story between them. Now, that's if you're going to take prisoners. Some guys say they're going to fly the black flag. Others say they'll just, you know, they're not going to take prisoners. They don't have the resources. But if this goes with anything, I don't care if it's two kids. Two kids do something, they get in trouble. Keep them separate. Oh, here we go here. Let's see what we got. Hello, who do we have on the line?
This is Seth Jones Show.
It sure is, and we are live right now.
How's it going? I was calling the last minute. This is Nate Nashley.
Oh, okay. I've seen you post and send me stuff.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I appreciate what you do so far. I've seen the stuff that you post on there. It's pretty good. I haven't got to hear the show.
Oh.
I guess I'm not doing something right when I go to the to the site.
Okay. Are you going to you broadcast or are you going to DutchJones.info?
Okay, I'm going to the U broadcast.
Yeah, try DutchJones.info.
Okay.
And that's another place that you can hear it. And you can also, right now, you can go to LibertyTreeRadio.4mg.com. I know it's a lot right there, but LibertyTreeRadio.4mg.com, and we're streamed there also right now.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it.
Oh, always willing to help out a new listener. Thanks for your support.
God bless.
Okay, you too, brother. Thank you. There you go. That's somebody from the Facebook side having a little trouble there. Normally, I would, you know, if he could get in the chat room, Luke could help him listen. But I can never talk anybody down. I would be terrible as a guy on the ground trying to tell someone how to land a plane. I can't do it. But back to it. So good. I'm glad. But somebody who sends stuff off my email list and my Facebook postings and stuff I do in forums. Let's see. Okay, so we're talking about 50% security. A good commander, I don't care if you're a platoon leader all the way up to a general, you don't burn your troops out. So 50% security is fine. 25% is good too, depending on the situation you're in, but let's just play it safe and keep 50% security. When we were on the border and we had good stuff going on, we had enough people, 50% security. And we would rotate it depending on the demands and the abilities of the people. If you've got some narcoleptic guy, you don't... You know what? Put them in the talk. Make them do stuff. It's really hard to keep awake when you're just sitting there in a fighting position, hidden in a bush, wearing a ghillie suit. I'm working on Lou with that. Teenagers are terrible. At least every teenager I ever knew, and me, I couldn't stay awake. I got guys right now, when I'm teaching a class up here, I look out. I had two guys falling asleep yesterday in the class. And this is a
class. Me.
Those were both you?
No, none of those.
Oh, none of those were you. I thought both of them were you, Lou. Yeah, it wasn't Rocky yesterday either. He stayed awake. So it was two other guys that I noticed, and you know, we had about 30 people in the class or so. But the time to work on it's when you're in class. Time to work on it's now. Guard duty is probably one of the more critical things after the basic skills. You know, I tell stories all the time to people. You know, you study history where guards are caught unawares asleep. Go through the Bible. How many times have people been overtaken because their guards were asleep? So when at camp, half the party stays awake while the other half sleeps. Keep your prisoners separate so they can't cook up a story between them is where I was. See, I got knocked off a little bit there. We were talking, yeah, coffee. I think Stacy just went and got coffee. You got coffee and a granola bar? All right.
I was over here yawning.
See, she's planning. She didn't even know what I was going to talk about. We went to number 10. Keep your prisoners separate so they can't cook up a story between them. Gathering human intel is very important.
So I don't care if when I was a cop, you know, for the short time that I was, or an MP for a while, I got people, the first thing they teach you, and you guys know this, anybody that's watched any of these blatantly weird cop shows on TV, at least they get that right. They separate them. And you question them. That's usually how people get caught. Let's look at the other side of that. That's how you get caught, because you don't have a story mixed up before you do something wrong. And they go, where are we going? Where'd you come from? What time did you leave? They ask all those stupid basic things. So it works for us, too, when we catch prisoners. Make sure that you keep them separate. Have a system in place for how you handle prisoners. Have an SOP for everything. Those of you, oh, I'm militia. I don't need to do that. I'm Rambo. I don't need... I'm a lone wolf. Have an SOP for everything. It doesn't mean you depend 100% on your SOPs. Adaptation is important in overcoming obstacles, but you need to have an SOP. We have one here. We already know what we're going to do if we capture somebody. We're going to let Lou torture him with his Gurkha knife and get all the information we can, and then we're going to throw him in the river with floaties on, and the people can have him if he's still... I'm just kidding. Lou's all excited about that. He thought I was serious.
No.
Okay, number 11. Don't ever march home the same way. Take a different route so you don't get ambushed. This should apply to your life, man.
Yeah.
With the criminal element that's out there and the opportunistic crime, just random acts of violence that are going on, for those of you that still dwell in cities, those of you that still live in Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, it, some people, but there is only one way home. Yeah, getting to where I am, you have to take 198. Well, yeah, I have to take 198, but there are side roads. I can stop and make loop-de-loops through McDonald's on the way up. Find different ways to shake a tail. And when you're in the field, when you're in the field doing tactical stuff or even strategic stuff on a larger scale, vary what you're doing. Don't leave your safe place, your place of refuge, the same time every day to go on patrol. Don't use the same gate. Don't have just one gate. Don't go out in the same numbers the same time. Go have three people go out from each gate at a different time and then rally up somewhere else. Don't set patterns. That's what this is. Take a different route so you won't get ambushed. If you were, I love these security jobs that I've worked, like for Hewlett Packard. When I got out of the Army, I worked part-time for Hewlett Packard in Colorado at Fort Collins. They wanted me to do the same route every single time, every hour, and I had to pick up my times. I had to go faster. If I'm going faster, I'm less observant.
Connected.
Check, Lou, to see if we're connected. See if we're connected, Lou.
We are.
Okay, yes, we're still connected. Stacy got disconnected. We're making sure.
I got kicked
off. Okay, we'll get back on. And random stuff. Be random within your operational parameters. Don't set patterns. But I couldn't understand this. And then they get, I remember somebody stole $30,000 from the petty cashier. And they were all investigating everybody and acting all weird. And I had just gotten off, you know, 7 years of active duty. 1 year of garrison MP where I did murders, I did everything as an MP, involved in forensic collection. And these idiot security guard rent-a-cops, wasn't even armed security, the American Patrol and Guard and out in Fort Collins, I don't know if they're still there. And they're interviewing everybody trying to play good cop, bad cop. And I said, one, there are no security checks in that corner of the building. You don't need, because we have the time clocks. Remember those old time clocks, those of you that did it? And two, you made us do the same pattern in the rest of the building. So they had a 45-minute window of opportunity to use a crowbar to the door and go into that little safe and tear it open and then take it out. They probably took it out in one of the trash bins. It was probably a janitor. These idiots never thought it out themselves. And here I am, you know, a 20-something old kid, and these guys were like 50-year-old supposedly ex-cops, morons. Don't set patterns. People will take advantage of it and exploit it, and you can get people killed. Setting a pattern will get you killed, in all seriousness. That's number, what was that, number 11? Number 12, I love this one. It's about operational security in a physical sense. Keep a scout 20 yards ahead, 20 yards on each flank, 20 yards to the rear so the main body can't be surprised or wiped out. Those of you that were in the Air Force or Navy, a flank means your sides. Right flank, left flank. I don't know starboard or port either, so you can make fun of me on that. And I don't know anything about aircraft, so you can make fun of me on that one. But 20 yards ahead of you, if you've got the manpower, do this. You're going to have rear security, front security, side security. You're going to have bounding overwatch, which is something I like. If you've got people that are physically able, put them out ahead of you before the main body comes through and have them watching from a high point. That's what they call it, bounding overwatch. And they leapfrog you because they're smaller. They can move faster. Security is everything. And every time you stop, refresh your security, maybe rotate. Unless you got a really good point guy and you don't want to take them out, you got a really good rear guard. You got them tail gunner, whatever you want to call them. The name's changed in every militia I've been in, but as long as the unit knows what you're talking about. And if you don't have radio communication, you know, maintain something. I don't care if it's hand signals, depending on the terrain you're in, whatever. Know where your security elements are at all times. Don't leave anybody behind. Your rear guard's going to have a real, especially if you're working stealthy, like in a LERP situation, he's going to cover your trail. He's going to cover your trail. Point guard's going to pick the path of least nastiness for you. He's going to be looking out for obstacles, natural and man-made. These people have got to be trained properly in these areas. Everybody should be trained in it. You should cross-train everybody. Use the special forces attitude. That's what Rangers really are. I mean, people go, oh, you know, they don't. Rangers are so mad when the rest of the military got berets, I remember. And it, you know, they get into the badges. I don't get into all that stuff. I could care less. I think the berets look stupid, make our guys look French, but I didn't even like it. Anyway, I'm not going to get into it. But Rangers are special forces, and they train better than your regular infantry 11 Bravo Grunt or whatever they're calling them now. Every night, you'll be told where to meet if surrounded by superior force. Standard operating procedure, rally points. 1, 2, and 3 rally points. If we're overrun, this is where we go. Everywhere you have a rally point scenario set up. You do it, think about it. You do it for your business when it's a fire. If there's a fire and the fire alarm goes off, everybody meets in the back parking lot and we do a head count. Schools, fire alarms. House, fire alarm. Sadly, think about kids that had abusive fathers. When daddy comes home drunk, we all climb out the window and go to Aunt May's house. Rally points are a natural and easy thing to do. Don't overcomplicate it. You can have random as you're walking. Hey, see that hill over there? Shoot an azimuth to it. I like that hill. See that little shed just below the military crest of the hill? That's our rally point if we get jumped in the next 500 yards. And then you pick another one. And another one. But it works for stationary as well as on the move. So every night, make sure everyone in your group knows exactly what the rally points are. You know, you say, okay, if we get overrun, it's a superior force, overwhelming power on us, we can't get away, or we can't fight it toe-to-toe. We run. Discretion is the better part of valor. Everybody gets the rally point, you live to fight another day. This isn't a movie. This isn't poorly written history where they glorify, you know, those who die for their country or their cause. It's not what it's all about. I kind of went over this one before a little bit ahead of time. 14, do not eat without posting sentries. Do not eat without posting sentries. And those sentries don't eat while they're on sentry duty. They do not eat. You tell them to wait. You catch your sentries eating, you discipline them. I've taken their water. I've taken their food. Stuck them on point. You got to have a plan and a punishment. You have to have discipline, folks. If I send a guy out, you know, I say, go out 20 yards ahead of us. We're going to sit and we're going to take a sock break and eat. Eat first, then change your socks. You don't want to handle your socks and eat. It's kind of gross. Don't eat your socks, Dave. That's not what I said. And you find out your guy's out there munching on his John Wayne bar, you've got to discipline him because he just put the lives of everybody in your unit, whether it's 3 or 300, in jeopardy. Your sentries have got to know that they hold in their hands not just the security of the mission, but the lives of their coworkers, their fellow soldiers. And the minute somebody starts doing that, let me tell you what, people will... I don't even know how to explain this. The hazing, I guess it is. We had a guy, always would fall asleep. I think his name was Deerfield. I'll just say he's Deerfield, that's not it. Guy would fall asleep on the toilet. And he just we'd send him out and on sentry duty, and he'd go take a you know, 10-200. And we're like, what are you doing? Well, I had to go. Well, why didn't you ask for relief? Why didn't you tell the first, you know, the platoon leader when you had to go out, wait a minute, I gotta relieve myself. You don't risk the security because of your own needs. You have to have a love for your brother and sister in arms, if that's what you're doing. Unfortunately, when I was in Central America, we had a lot of female guerrillas. Tell you what, females make really good sentries. They obey, or at least the ones I worked with, the indigenous people, they obeyed orders. They cared about, I don't know, they just were really good at it. So don't eat, don't change socks, don't do a comm check without posting sentries. Don't stop and take time to shoot azimuths to work out your call for fire, if we're lucky enough to have artillery units, without putting out sentries. I like this one. This is one that was really hard to get out of my system when I got out of the military. It took months doing the reverse of this, actually. I used to get up before the sun came up, because I was conditioned by the military to do that, and just try and get things done. You don't want to move when the sun's coming up. Don't sleep beyond dawn. Dawn's when the French and Indians attack. Dawn's when the enemy attacks. and the French Canadians. Do not sleep beyond dawn. Take advantage of the laziness of your enemies and the predictability of your enemies. Do everything you can to optimize your chances by going, hey, if we move out of here, you know, before false dawn, you guys want to know what that is? Go look it up. False dawn, first twilight, when visibility is still in our favor, when we move, if we move quiet enough, sneak out. Some of the best battles were won by people who snuck out before the sun came up. Especially if you know your enemy. Now, you may have an enemy that's tactically and technically superior and can fight at night. Adapt to it. Adapt to it. It's like when we've had night vision classes here and we've had real-world training, people that have actually fought against and with night vision on. Personally, I hated it. I got violent headaches from it and everything. I was in when they were first introducing it to, you know, just regular jerks like me. And it's probably much more advanced, and people better than me will talk about how great it is. But we decided, because we don't have the money to buy it, it's best that we just adapt our battle plan to not engage people if we know they have night vision at night, and to come up with ways to defeat it, which is a whole other show. Know what your opponent's capable of. Never underestimate them. Never disrespect them. You know, it kind of goes back to the Confederacy, the War of Federal Aggression. Have a love for your enemy in a way that you don't make stupid mistakes. Realize that he is just as capable, if not more capable, than you. That's where empires fall. Study the Visigoths. Study Rome. Study Hadrian's Wall. Underestimating your enemy because you think they'd be savages and not capable of doing these things will get you killed. So make your battle plan, make your SOP so that you operate on a time schedule that is negative to their advantage. So if that means getting up at 4 a.m. every day, do it. Discipline yourselves. I hate nothing more than somebody who can't wake up. Right, Lou?
Right.
I get you pretty good now. It used to take 4 or 5 pokes with a curtain rod to get him up. Now it's just opening the door and he's up. Although today, you didn't get up the first time, so I got to poke you with the Confederate flagpole. It's not desecrating the flag. I'm using it for training. So don't sleep before dawn. What am I got here for time? I got about 4 minutes. Good. I'll be able to finish this up and then get into something spiritual at the last half hour. I like this. Don't cross a river by a regular Ford. No, they're not talking about the Ford pickup. They're not saying it's okay to use a Chevy to cross a river. Fording a river, I'm talking about crossing a river tactically and safely and stealthily. It's very dangerous. And if you take a place that it's a common trail where animals cross, or if you're in an exhaustive, long, drawn-out engagement, and you know, I think about the Ho Chi Minh trails, don't cross where other people are going to cross. There's always going to be a spotter. There's going to be, just assume there's somebody there watching that designated crossing. And let's move this into the modern time. Don't use the bridge. One of the biggest things they taught us in Central America, don't use gates, don't use bridges, don't use doorways. I don't care if you have to blow a hole in the side of their hut. You don't enter a structure through a designated opening. You don't cross a river. You don't cross a highway. You don't use the overpass. You find another way around that's a little more advantageous to your group, even if it means walking kilometers out of your way. Do you want dead soldiers or slightly tired soldiers? Think about that one. So don't cross a river at a regular ford. And apply that to modern conveyances today. If somebody's trailing you, make a circle and ambush the folks who set out to ambush you, who armed to ambush you. It's like I was saying, you want to lose a tail? Pull into a Walmart parking lot and start circling, and then you'll start noticing who's following you. Now, I don't want you to go ambush people who do this. I used to do it as a private investigator. If I was following somebody that was, you know, of criminal intent, you know, we're talking some dangerous stuff here. And I knew they put somebody on me because, you know, sometimes it's obvious, sometimes you're good and you don't know. Who knows how many times I didn't know how I had a tail? You know, I'm following some deadbeat dad or something and he's got his buddies in a truck ready to beat the crap out of me. But I would pull into a Walmart parking lot like I was going to park, pull into a parking space and pull out of it right away. And I would look for the car that just stops on the, you know, because parking lots are tilted for runoff. If they're smart, if they're good at what they're doing, they're going to pick high ground to watch you to see if you go in, especially if they got more than one vehicle. Make a big circle. Come back around them and start following them. One of the big things I used to like to do when I knew somebody was following me, I'd park in a big public area where they couldn't hurt me or anything, and they'd park. And then I'd call one of my other agents or somebody or even order a pizza to their car and you know, let them have a pizza. You know, hey, I found you, I burned you. In the business that of bodyguarding and all that, if you get burned, it's major. It's like being shot down. You know, hey, you got burned. You know, you got to get pulled off. They ID'd your car. They ID'd you. So it's a pride thing. But let's talk militia wise. You guys know this. If you're on a trail and you suspect that somebody's coming up behind you, whether they know you're there or not, it's a good idea to do a fishhook maneuver, set up a hasty ambush, and take them out. Does that make sense to you? You know, look for terrain advantages, look for structural advantages. You may even, and this is something that I got into arguments in the last training we did. I split our force when I knew we were going to be ambushed. Because that's what ancient battles dictate. And, oh no, you never split your force. You put your guys together and you go in the front door. Because we're getting some kind of hinky SWAT training. But you get the point. You can set a trap and slam it shut with a little bit of bait. It's not really bait if they know what's going on. Let your guys know, you know, and put them in a situation where they're going to be okay. So if you think you're being followed, make a big loop. Not very hard stuff. Remember playing hide and seek as a kid? Remember playing tag? Stuff really applies. Now this next one I really like, because I told you earlier I've been watching these videos from Afghanistan and everything. And we'll talk a little bit about them after the break here. Why don't you go ahead and roll some music? It's time for the break. The last ones that are on here really irk me, and I've been seeing a lot of this going on. Friendly fire stuff being caught, you know, leading up to problems with this. But when I come back, we'll talk about this, and maybe we'll round out the rest of the hour with it. Thanks for listening. I'm Dutch Jones. Dutch Jones Show at... No, not Dutch Jones Show anymore. It's DutchJones.info.
Dutch at DutchJones.info.
Is it?
Yeah.
No, that's the email address. Anyway, we'll be back. Go to DutchJones.info to find out more about me. Conditions, the human body will die after 3 days without water. Having access to clean, drinkable water in a disaster, survival situation, or military action is critical when putting together your survival plan and survival kit. Whether you choose to boil, filter, purify, or use some type of chemical treatment, something must be done when planning your survival, escape routes, and plans, and putting together your bug-out bag or simply your rucksack. That's why I have chosen to offer Sawyer brand water filters. These filters used in the medical industry for kidney dialysis exceed the needs for water purification. With different units available, the basic unit that you should get will be capable of filtering up to 500 gallons a day and will not need to be replaced until you have surpassed 1 million gallons through that filter. I know that's hard to believe, but it's a fact. They've been using these filters overseas for years in the missionary fields and in post-disaster recovery efforts. The filters are lightweight and simple to use, so whether you attach it to a 5-gallon bucket, to a water bladder, or to a 10,000-gallon
5-gallon tank. These filters can do the job for you. They can handle up to 48 PSI, and with different fittings and ingenuity, you can even apply them to inside, inline water supply systems into your house, cabin, or survival structure. So I'm asking you to go to djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer water filters. Order them through us. You'll save at least $5 off the retail price of buying them from Sawyer Direct. And as always, the money goes to help the radio ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So, do something right for your family, get them prepared for a disaster or calamity, and you're helping us out. So don't forget, djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer brand water filters.
From the back roads of Virginia to the hills of old Alabama, there came teachers, there came preachers, there came boys that were just Southern proud. United in a belief, Jesus would guide them through. It was brother against brother, between the two a father had to choose. 13 stars were placed upon their flag for each Southern state. How proud them boys they must have felt as they marched away. But after the battle smoke cleared and they could see all that was done, a prayer went across the old South for all the fallen sons. So for their honor we are sworn that throughout eternity we must never let our children forget the brave boys who wore the grave. There'll be books that'll be written, there'll be stories how they'll be told, of the glory of the old South, how she fell from grace. And that cause they'll write about, it was known throughout the ranks. They were fighting for their homes and the love for their state. 13 stars were placed upon their flag for each Southern state. Now proud them boys they must have felt as they marched away. But after the battle smoke cleared and they could see all that was done, a prayer went across the old South for all those fallen sons. So for their honor.
Okay, we're back. Sorry about that delay, but we got an emergency phone call right in the middle of the break. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program coming to you live from the Church of Cahuilla in Central California, and one of our fellow churchmates was on a journey on his Harley Davidson, and something called a thing that charges the battery broke. So he's been having to drive 300 miles, charge a battery, drive 300 miles. He's on an 8-hour drive today. So traveling mercies for our brother Frank. He's going to try to get back. If he can't get in, we're going to, after the show, go get a flatbed and go get him, because those Harleys are heavy. I said, let's put it in a pickup, and he's like, you can't lift it. So that's what fellowship's all about. But while he's been breaking down, he told me he's been handing out tracts and sharing the gospel with people at rest areas and stuff. So the Lord makes good of every bad thing, and I see it every day here, and hopefully you see it in your lives. Well, we're back. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program coming to you live, like I said. And with no further ado, we'll get right back into Robert Rogers' standing orders for Rangers. What did I left? I got 18 and 19 left. And one of the things that I think is really, and no matter where I've been in training, they still teach us because people are just stupid. We have this gawking mentality. We have this, hey, we're observing things going on, so we're going to watch what's doing. I can't, people are shooting at me, but I'm still going to stand up and look. You know what I'm talking about? And number 18, don't stand up when the enemy's coming. Kneel down, lie down, hide behind a tree. Sounds like common sense stuff, but when you're in the panic of the moment, or it comes on you instantly, there's this, and I've seen it over and over again, there's this, these people, they stand, I've even seen guys go up on their tippy toes to look over a wall. I've seen people walk up to the
border fence where there's a little hole in the fence and look, put their eye right up to it to see what's going on in Mexico. And I'm like, do you realize that one guy with a finger could take you out? We do stupid things. And I just watched the National Geographic video. It's a history of special forces, and they're focusing on these two units in Afghanistan. They're all doing it. They're standing up, firing these belt-fed weapons now that they've got. Who was it? I heard a car door. It wasn't down at her house, was it? I hope nobody stole a car. They're just, I don't know what's going on. They show the guys, you know, standing in a cluster, calling for fire, just firing from their Humvee. Now, two things enter my mind when I'm watching this video. Either the enemies of our special forces guys are idiots, which I don't think the Mujahideen are, or you want to call them Taliban or whatever, the Arab warriors, and there is no enemy up on that hillside. They're not really taking rounds. Now, I've seen some real good footage, you know, where guys are pinned down, they're in a cemetery, the Marines are getting shot by a sniper. But I'm seeing this bulk of stuff that I'm just like, why are they standing up? They have that much faith in their body armor and the fact their enemy can't do a face shot? So it sounds stupid, but you fight like you train. And if you're using airsoft and paintball to train, you've got to let people know that just because you think you can take a couple stinging hits from it, you can't think you're Superman. And you've got to get in that mental mindset. You know, I can remember the first time we took enemy fire from a mortar position. You can't believe, and I was only like 160 pounds at the time, pretty skinny, about Lou's size here, a little taller than he is now, how low of a profile you can make when you're under fire. And it's imperative that you train your guys to seek cover, seek concealment. What's the thing? If you're not shooting, you're moving. Well, I like to move when I shoot. If you're not moving and shooting, you're reloading and moving towards cover. If you're not behind cover, you should be retreating. You should be moving, doing a tactical withdrawal. People get mad when I say retreating. Chuck just popped in here. Is this our buddy Chuck from OK? He's saying he's hearing on some other radio show. Oh, my. He's listening to another radio show during my show. Remember that care package we're sending? Put something stinky in it, Lou. Just kidding. That Bank of America is going to crash soon. It's amazing. Everything is still up. Yeah, we're seeing all that stuff. Things are, you know, little indicators. Will it happen? I can't guarantee it, but I'd rather be wise and ready than not. So, number 18, train your guys to do low crawls. Train your guys to make the most of available cover. Do like we do up here. People like to hide behind cinder block walls. That's the number one. Stucco and cinder block walls are all over Central and Southern California. And everybody, I can hide behind the cinder block wall. Shoot it with an SKS round. Show them what happens to the other side. Even if the bullet's mangled and the jacket comes off, that secondary projectile of the material used to make that will injure you. And I always use the scenario of the idiot cops that went after, you know, everybody called them heroes. The idiot cops that took their pistols out and went after two guys with fully automatic AK-47s in the North Hollywood shootout. The heroes were the guys that went and got long guns or showed up with their M4s. The other cops should have just been trying to keep everybody away from them, let them get out of the area so civilians wouldn't have got shot. That whole containment philosophy that they have that gets people killed like it in scenarios, they've changed it now a little bit. But they just took up positions, hid behind walls, and took pot shots at guys that were wearing double body armor. So I can't remember the guys' names. I had them memorized for a while, the Ukrainians or whatever. They just shot through the cinder block walls and armor-piercing rounds. They shot through the parts of the vehicle that didn't have engine block, and they wounded all these officers. I'm still amazed that no officers were killed in that. No civilians were killed. I'm not saying these guys were good guys, don't get me wrong, and I'm not saying the cops, you know, completely screwed it up. But teach your people what's cover. I remember in the Army, 18 inches of hard-packed dirt at a minimum. A large tree, 18 to 24 inches in diameter, and it all depends on the type of wood. And it depends on what your enemy's shooting. Now, if we're up against a bunch of 223 rounds, everybody goes, well, the 223 round is inferior and I hate it, I'm only going to use a 308. Okay, go stand out behind that wall and let me shoot at you with the 223. I don't care if they're using a 177 pellet. Are you hearing something out there?
Yeah.
What do you hear? Oh, okay. We're just always on high alert here, folks. Sorry to take away from the show. Teach them to move and cover, shoot and cover, optimize what they have. Concealment's great. Cover's better. Cover and concealment, wonderful. Getting out of the area so that you can fight another day, even better. Seeking the high ground so you can dispatch your threat. Wonderbar. We're militia. We're militia. Stop thinking that we are the Continental Army. Stop thinking that we, unless you're in a militia that has 300 guys and you're training that way, which, you know, I'm not going to knock that. You know, we're not here to envelop, you know, find them, fix them, kill them, and forget them. What was that? What was the thing that that last trainer brought in? Find them, fix them,
flank them,
and kill them. That's what it was, 3F and K. It almost seemed obscene the way I said that. 3Fs and a K. Find them, fix them, flank them, and kill them. Well, if you don't have the manpower to do it, fix them and get out of the area. You know what your limits are. Discretion is the better part of valor. Discretion is the better part of valor. You can do more to the enemy by harassing and ruining their will to fight and driving them nuts by never really engaging them, hitting them where they're weak, hitting them on the sides, hiding, using tunnels, using the optimum terrain. For only attack when you know you can do damage, take three shots and run. That was one of the other things he taught his guys. No more than three shots and run. Modern technology, I might even say everybody takes, you know, empties one magazine with a full auto and runs. But if we don't have full auto, one or two shots, run. You know, it annoys the heck out of the aggressing force. Think about how annoyed our guys were in Vietnam. You hear the stories, you see the movies, you read the books, the way the Viet Cong fought, except in a few battles. And you know what? The Viet Cong never really won a battle, but they won the war. I know a bunch of Vietnam vets get mad at me. We lost that war. Not because of the integrity of our troops, but because of the technology and because of the philosophy of the commanders. We relied heavily on, you know, on skirmishes and stuff and trying to, you know, hold ground and then give it away, but the Viet Cong didn't care about holding ground. They cared about political battles. They spent more on the student fifth column stuff inside the United States. That battle wasn't won or lost necessarily in Vietnam. It was won or lost in the media and the hearts of America. I'll do a whole show on that. I know people get mad at me when I do that. I don't knock the Vietnam soldiers. Don't get me wrong. They won a lot of battles, but they lost the war. And we got to learn from these things. We got to stop fighting the wars of our grandfathers and fighting that way, except unless your grandfather's Robert Rogers and he's got it right. Grab onto the enemy of the belt sometimes and fight him. Other times, shove him from behind, kick him in the butt, and don't give him a chance to turn around and take. Be the weasel. Fight like a weasel, Lewis. It's just the way it goes. Somebody's asking, how much solid rock would you need to stop a 50 cal? It depends on the rock. When I had my 50 BMG before I sold it to pay for my daughter's beautiful smile, I have no regrets. I could shoot a granite rock up on a hillside, and it would crack open, you know, 24, 36 inches thick. The rock right next to it I hit, and it doesn't break open. And I was using, at that time, before I knew it was illegal, I had armor-piercing rounds. One time, we found out in the desert, out north of Barstow, at a place called Poleline Road, where we used to go shoot, and all the militia guys would go shoot. Somebody had dumped a Toyota pickup with a six-cylinder motor in it, and they put it out there. So we got back 200 yards, cleared the area, and I shot a 50 cal round right through the truck, completely through the truck, through the engine block, and, you know, they're aluminum or whatever now, through and out the tailgate. And then we never saw where it hit because it was on a flat area, and it just kept going. And there was a mountain back about, I'd say, 600 yards. And it hit there. We saw, you know, you could see the trail, but we never actually saw where it hit because we were looking at the vehicle. But, you know, we did have a backstop. But we were really surprised at what a 50 cal will do. And I told this story yesterday when I was an MP, those of you that are ex-military. The junior partner, which is, you know, the lowest ranking, he drives, does all the paperwork, and the senior partner sits there and, you know, makes sure everything goes right. If, in the event that you have to get out of the car and use the car for cover, and it only happened twice to me, and they both involved poachers at Fort AP Hill, the senior partner gets to hide behind the engine block. The junior partner gets behind the trunk. And guess what? Every deer rifle that I know of in North America that you would use to dispatch deer for poaching, other than a shotgun and even then a slug, the engine block will stop most of them, unless somebody's gotten like a 400 Rigby or something, 500 Rigby. But I had to get behind the trunk because I was always the junior partner, you know, corporal, and I always had an E6 or an E7, even when for the short time I was an E5, very short time, before I got busted back to E4. I had to hide behind the trunk. So you know what I did? After I learned that, I'd grab a couple extra vests and throw them in the trunk. and I knew where they were. I knew which fender well they were in between and all that stuff, and I hoped, I prayed that they didn't get jostled, but I tried to position my gear and everything back there. So I had to adapt to the situation, but normally there was nothing I could do. You know, a rifle's going to go through a couple, you know, level 2 vests, and we had flak jackets and stuff like that. But as a combat MP, you know, it's the way the vehicle I was in when they went from the Jeeps and the trucks to the Humvees. I wouldn't want to hide behind a Humvee if somebody's got a 50 cal. I want to be in a ditch on the side of the road, you know, with my head down until the designated marksmen, whoever they were at the time, you know, engaged or call for fire. I hate 50 cals. I'd love to have one on my side, but they scare me a lot. So I would rather defeat it by not being in its field of fire. But I'm going to look for the biggest rock I can find. So I can't tell you how big of a rock or how big of a car or whatever. I mean, in the first Gulf War, they were using these things. They looked like the Grizzly single shot. Looked like a cannon. You know, you take the whole bolt out, mount the 50 cal round in, into the bolt face, it slides in. Slide in from the rear. It's a bullpup design. Monte Griffin adapted it, but I think Grizzly in Montana still makes them. Mine was a Monte Griffin kit that I modified a little bit. They would shoot from 600,000-700,000 yards at the Scud launchers with those. Advanced Special Forces Groups, British SAS, whatever they were. And they would take out the Scud launcher so Israel wouldn't get tagged. And they would take one round and it would go through the whole missile. You know, and it wouldn't set it off. It would destroy control surfaces, you know, flight dynamics, things like that. And let's see. I don't know what it was. So, yeah, 50 cal is something you got to deal with. The good news is, and I've learned this from listening to Liberty Tree Radio and other things to back it up, there are more 50 cals in the hands of the civilian militias and private collectors, as my voice cracks, sorry, I just went through puberty, thank you very much, than all the militaries combined. And as I heard Mark Kornke once, but we don't have to fill out a form, we don't have to requisition it from the armor. If you want it, you bring it. To me, they're crew-served weapons, even the single shots like I had. Ooh. I had like two guys that would support me when I was in the militia with mine, and it was like 42-inch long barrel with a big old brake on the end of it, and the ammo weighed a ton. Personally, I switched to the 300 Winchester Magnum after I sold mine for a while. I had a 300 Winchester Magnum, and ballistically, similar within my abilities. You know, I'm not going to make a 2,800-yard shot or something. But the 50 cal is something you got to deal with. So that was an excellent question. I kind of got off on a tangent there, but I always love talking about 50 cals. I really studied them a lot. I liked what Carlos Hathcock did with the M2s. So, let's see. Okay, they're just talking about stuff in the chat room. So, learn how to use cover properly. Know what your enemy's got. Know what they're using. Think about indirect fire. Think about covering your fighting positions. Don't just dig a hole and I see this all the time, especially in basic training because it was easy. They dig a hole and they take one guy's poncho and put it over, put some sticks and some dirt, you know, some sticks about the size of your thumb. No, you want heavy logs over your fighting position because indirect fire will take you out sometimes more often than direct fire because indirect fire is impersonal. It doesn't care. It flies. For those of you who know, indirect fire is artillery, mortar, rifle launch grenades, airburst grenades, things like that. Anything that can just be tossed over your barrier, your border, your wall, the trees that you're hiding behind, the vehicle you're hiding behind, and it goes off either behind you, within your perimeter, or in the air above you. And it's nasty business. So be aware of that if your enemy is using that. It depends on who we're fighting. If we're fighting UN, Chinese, our own ungodly military forces, you know, or fighting the loyal constitutional military forces, which is how I think it's going to go down, and we get caught in the middle, we may be facing this kind of stuff. But the best option is don't give them the opportunity to call indirect fire on you. As an MP, especially in bounding overwatch stuff, I mean, I never got to do it that much, usually just to destroy drug fields. My best weapon was my radio and my compass and my map and my ability to call for fire correctly. So, you know, be aware, depending on who you're fighting, you want to be able to build up your, even your hasty fighting positions, be looking for good cover. But sometimes trees can be your worst enemy. World War II, you know, look at how many guys were injured from splinters, you know, if you can get the epidemiology on that. It's amazing. The Germans would use these airburst time shells that would go off 20 feet in the air, and not just the shrapnel or fragmentation, but the wood splinters. So, something to be thinking about there. So knowing when to squat, when to kneel, when to crawl, and when to shut up and not even pull that trigger. You know, every soldier's nightmare, you know, you're setting up an ambush, you're like, you know, we're going to have a good ambush, and then here comes a battalion or brigade size unit, and you got 12 guys. Their advanced element comes through, and you're hearing the noise, the clanking of the pots and pans, the murmuring, you smell the cigarette tobacco, and you're like, oh my lord, we're in deep doo-doo. Discretion is the better part of valor. You start to squirm into your hasty fighting position, you know. You start to think, oh, that 18 inches of dirt isn't enough. Why can't I curl up into a ball and disappear into the roots of this tree? Sometimes that's it right there, being able to just be the tree. So hopefully I'm making some sense to you. I'm really trying to get the basics down because, again, most of my audience from the emails I'm getting, they have no background in this, and that's fine. If you have the desire, the will, and you're called by the Lord to serve, I'm 100% here to help you. As long as you're willing to be trainable, it's your desire that matters to me, what's in your heart. Not what's on your back or you know, how you can afford 511s with the knee pads built into them. I could care less about that. We're going over our SOP, and I'll get to the last number 19 here in a minute because it's very, very important. We're going over the list because we're getting sick and tired of people showing up, and I know this may sound elitist, in their blue jeans, their tan hunting jacket, and no first aid. You know, I don't care what weapon they bring, but not enough for it. They don't have a cleaning kit. They don't, you know, any of that stuff. And everybody's tough, you know, it's tough. We don't have the money to get everything, but to get the basics. In our SOP, we just sat down. Was it yesterday? The pastor? Yeah, it was yesterday after church. We were in there till like 5 o'clock. What does everybody need? They need their trauma kit. They need their tourniquet in their trauma kit. It needs to be located here. It needs to be labeled. They need to have suitable boots. We have people showing up in tennis shoes. We had a guy show up at a tactical pistol training who shows up with the same clothes he wears to church on Sunday. And the pastor was just furious. He's like, are you taking this seriously or not? You know, we're going to be searching houses. We're going to be doing all this. And you're just, you know, granted, you may have to fight in that. But you want to optimize your training experience. Are you going to grab your as I call it, my man bag that has my weapon and everything in it? Or are you just going to, you know. But if you're going to be militia, you got to have some SOPs. You got to have some standards. I love these 18. Some of the things, you have to have headgear. You have to have goggles, gloves, knee pads if you want them. Food and supplies for 3 days in your Minuteman bag. Period. Who can't afford a bunch of little tuna, those little tuna packets with the crackers? Sacrifice, folks. Fellowship and preparation should be sacrificial. Of course, on the other side of it, I know guys, and I fall into that, I've got 3 or 4 layers of stuff for each one of our family members so I can throw stuff to somebody else. I learned that from the Cornkey Group in the intelligence report. I learned that as a very good lesson long ago. But some of our people are depending on that, not because they're financially strapped. We've got a guy who can't afford anything. Because of his situation, he has nothing. You know, he can barely, you know, get the gas to go to work a day because somebody's taking his money. I don't want to go into it to embarrass him. But I told him the other day, everything you need will be provided for you because you show up to every training. You do your best to fit the minimum training requirement, equipment. You know, I see you bending over backwards. It's what's in your heart. So, you know, and I know people listen to this show, so we're going to put this out, this next training that we're doing, which I'm not going to advertise on the air anymore. If you want to know more about it and, you know, you want to be vetted, you want to come to our church, fine. We'll get you involved, but I'm not going to talk about it on the air. You have to show up with the uniform of the day, the gear of the day, or you're going to be sent home. I don't care if you prepaid, you know, for our excellent trainer to come in. We're going to refund your money. We're not tyrants. But you're not going to get to play with us. You've got to show a dedication. And if you show up in your overalls and you say, this is all I got, we'll accept that. Because we know some people, that's all they got. But if you refuse to do the minimum, you depend on everybody else. You're not part of the team. It's a martial mentality that you have to have. I don't care if it's some ancient fighting art or it's your street fighting common sense that some of our guys have. You know, we got guys that got out of prison. We believe that once they've paid their debt, they paid their debt. The state won't let them have guns right now, so we know that. There are people that are too old to fight, so they keep something in their closet. So they can hand it to their neighbor to fight the battle for them. We got to work together on this, or it's not going to work. Lastly, because I see I got 2 minutes left, let the enemy come till he's almost close enough to touch, then let him have it and finish him up with your hatchet. And it's not meaning I want you to take a hatchet out like the ones we sell, you know, the survival hatchets. No, let's apply this. It's like the Bible. You got to take it and apply it to today where the rubber meets the road. Let the enemy come till he's almost close enough to touch you. Limit their ability to use all their bang-bang blow-up satellite stuff. Do like the Viet Cong. Grab the enemy by the belt and fight them. Don't fire till you see the whites of their eyes. How many times have we heard that? The Battle of Breed's Hill? President Jackson? Different Stonewall. In the War of 1812 against the British? You all know the song. Love the song. Engage the enemy so close you make it so they can't use their armor. They can't use their aircraft. Close with the enemy, or wait for the enemy to close with you, and use everything in your power. That's what it means. Finish them up, finish them off, finish them up with your hatchet. Engage them and use every weapon in your arsenal, and then when it's time, disappear into the trees. Everybody, disappear into the trees. Be like the VC. Grab your wounded and drag them. Folks, we're in this... You know, we're in this for the species, people. We're in this for the holy cause of liberty, for Jesus Christ. Whether you're a deist, whether you're an agnostic, listening on one of the many outlets that we go to, and you don't like what I'm saying, fact of it is, you wouldn't have what few rights you have left today if it weren't for Christian men standing up in this country. If you want to start your own country somewhere else where you're a bunch of agnostic weirdos like France, look where they're at. If you want to start a country where you worship trees, go ahead. Just don't do it near me. I'm calling sheepdogs, people, for Christ. There's a beacon here on this hill, and we're looking for people. Not necessarily to come here, but to get the righteous attitude, to push the full crown rights of Jesus Christ into every area, including liberty, so that all men, regardless of race, color, or creed, that are created by our Lord Jesus Christ, have the God-given right to live free. And how dare any man try to take that away? We're here for you. The show is here for you. I may be telling you things you already know. Then look at me as a reminder. Look at me as a kick in the head. If you're new, check out DutchJones.info. DutchJones.info. Help us out financially if you can, but exploit what we've got there. The manuals, the training videos. Send us $5. We'll send you an envelope full of training videos that we have. We're at war, folks. We're already at war. For me, it started with Waco. When did it start with you? When will it start? Where's your line in the sand? Remember, we serve an awesome God. The sword is heavy, the battle is hard, but victory belongs to the Lord alone. But I am so blessed that He chooses and loves us enough to use us as a sword in His hand. Will you be that sword in His hand? Will you stand in the gap? Or are you going to cower and willfully and on by your own volition go into that FEMA camp? The choice is yours. The choice is yours. Sheepdog. And you want to be one of the wolves that's attacking them, or do you want to be one of the sheep? You got choices, folks. You have free will. We'll be back tomorrow. God bless you and all you do.